about that tonight. But generally, when we think of fear, we think of something negative, right? Nobody thinks of fear and says, oh, that's cool, you know. But a moderate sense of fear may be considered normal and even healthy at times, okay? I'm going to give you some examples. It's good to be afraid of snakes, all right, from my perspective. You know, some of y'all might like to play with snakes. I know Donnie, if he says amen ever, he's going to say amen on that, because I've seen Donnie when a rubber snake came out, and it wasn't too pretty. So I know he's scared of snakes, and I am too, so I share that. So a fear of snakes, I think that's a wise fear, you know. And then fear of bungee jumping. I mean, you guys, you know, some of y'all adventurers, man, that might be all right for some of y'all, but it ain't for me, you know. You're going to have to push me off, I promise you. So I figure that's a good fear, you know. But if fear is allowed to rule in our lives, it can cripple us and paralyze us and keep us from stepping out in faith and draw us away from our relationship and trusting God by causing us to disobey. See, there's a fear that's good of snakes and bungee jumping from my perspective. You know, I'm giving y'all my perspective, all right? But there's also a bad fear that we do not listen to the Lord, we do not obey what the Lord says, and it's a fear that draws us away from God through disobedience, okay? So you got good fear and you got bad fear. And a lot of times we're so feared because we ain't in control, right? We're scared because we're not in control. Anybody, the fear of the unknown is probably the most fearful thing for every one of us, okay? So we're just not in control. And fear leads to worry, anxiety, which we know is what? Sin. Yes, sin. Worry and anxiety. So fear leads to that. So when you're fear and it's pushing you towards worry, that's sin, okay? And we know that kind of sin is designed to destroy us. That's what it's for, okay? It steals our joy, our peace, and our happiness. And so we have good fear that draws us to God, but then we have bad fear that draws us away from God, okay? So we got those two kind of fears. But tonight we'll see in Psalm 128 a different kind of good fear that has nothing but positive effects on our relationship with God, okay? On our fruit of our good works, our good fruit, okay, it has nothing but a positive effect on that, and of our relationship with our families and as well as others. And so that kind of fear we should want, okay? I mean, if it's going to have a positive effect on my relationship with God, the fruitfulness of my labor, okay, and then my family and everybody around, man, that should be something that we want, amen? Okay, all right? But God, you know, these are areas that we spend most of the time in our life pursuing happiness. These are areas that every one of us want happiness in. But see, God is the one who created us, and He's the one who knows what will make us truly happy. See, you think you know what's going to make you happy, okay? God knows because He's smarter than you, and God knows because He made you, all right? God knows what's going to make you happy, all right? So God knows that. And He has a plan for each of us that includes this, okay? It includes trusting Him above everything else. And it includes worshiping Him above everything else. And it includes fearing Him above everything else. See, some of us fear a lot of other things that make decisions in our life, and we don't fear God, okay? So we're going to learn that the fear of God is what we need, okay? In Psalm 37:3 through 4, we read, "Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." So if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart because He knows what you really want anyway, okay? So tonight is not just about fear. Tonight's all about the Lord. We're here for Jesus. It's all about God. It's all about God. That fear that we talk about, fear is all about God. Worship is all about God. Serving and sacrificing is all about God, because here's the thing. God knows what's going to make us happy. And He knows the way to true happiness is an intimate relationship with Him, and that's it, okay? There's a lot of things we try to get our happiness and stuff from. And so I just want to start by praying, and then we're going to get into the Scripture. Father, Lord, I thank You for tonight, God. I thank You for these people. God, I thank You for the fact that Your Word can take something as negative as fear and turn it into something positive, Lord, that we can be excited about. God, so I pray tonight, God, that as we settle in, Lord, to hear Your Word, Lord, that You would be glorified. Lord, that people would just let down their guard and allow You to speak to them through their word, through Your word, God. I just ask, God, that Your powerful Holy Spirit would be already in this place, God. I know people need to get this tonight, God. So I just praise You for Your word, and I pray that it will go out clearly. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways." And y'all, you know, we're going to spend a little time in verse 1. For some of y'all, when I'm already still in verse 1 for a little while, I think, man, is he ever going to get through? I'm going to get through, I promise you. I'm going to get through, all right? But we're going to spend a little bit of time in verse 1 because it says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways, okay? And so as I looked at that word blessed, and when we were in the Sermon on the Mount, we talked about the Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are all these things. And there were some definitions for that, which fortunate, you are fortunate, okay? And you're highly favored. But the thing that I was looking up this word this week that just blew me away, and I think it sets the tone for the whole message here. This word blessed in this context means happy, okay? Happy are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. So how in the world can you be happy about fear, okay? Because this happiness, how are you going to be happy about fearing the Lord? Because this happiness is a promise, okay? And it's a sign. You can be happy because it's a sign of a relationship with God. And it says, blessed are all. That's everyone. If you fear the Lord, that means you're going to be happy, okay? And we'll get into what the fear of the Lord looks like in just a minute. All right, but this means this is for you. This is for everybody. Whether you're rich, poor, or circumstances, you're going to be happy if you'll fear the Lord. Who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. See, every one of us were created to enjoy God's grace, okay? You were created to enjoy God's grace, but you were also created to be holy. Did y'all hear me? You're created for God's grace, but you're also created to be holy. And so there's a lot of areas that this holiness, the holiness is exactly what I'm talking about when we're talking about fearing the Lord. You want to be holy whether you'll admit it or not. Okay, in marriage, in his book Sacred Marriage, he talked about marriage. What if marriage was made to make us holy, not happy? Okay, because marriage is a commitment. Sometimes y'all ever been married? It's kind of hard sometimes, right? Okay, but what if marriage wasn't just to make you happy? I've heard so many say, "Well, she don't make me happy anymore, so I'm out of here." I'm gonna tell you what: marriage was made to make you holy, not happy. Okay, but here's what I want to suggest to you: true holiness makes you happy. Okay, true holiness will make you happy. Okay, and so we're going to look at the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, here's what it's not. It's not terror before him in anticipation of punishment. It's not that terror before him. See, we used to have a little old dog, and man, I'm going to tell y'all, going to think I'm horrible when I tell y'all this story, but I ain't never been a big pet person, okay? But we had this little old dog. My son loved him, but that dog, every time, I wanted it to do what I wanted it to do. And so if it didn't do what I wanted to do, I tore its tail up. You know, I tore it up all the time, and it did what I wanted to do, okay? One day, we were out on the deal, and my son, on the parking, on the garage, well, carport and driveway, whatever, that concrete thing out in front of my house where I parked the car, all right? But we were out there, and he said, we're talking about who loves that dog. He said, man, I said, that dog's going to do what I tell him to. I don't care how much you love him. He said, no, he ain't. So we got down, and Brent's over here, and I'm over here, and we're calling the dog, and he says, come on over here. And I said, you better get here, you know. And that dog, that dog got there. That dog came straight to me because she knew if she didn't get there, she's going to get her tail tore up, you know, okay? That's not what we're talking about. Because I can tell you, even though that dog obeyed, she wasn't happy. She wasn't happy because I made her do that. But see, that's sometimes the way y'all look at the fear of the Lord. Is that, man, God's making you do something, okay? God is not making you do something. God loves you, okay? God loves you. But you know, I mean, there's really no reason that a saved person should be scared of God, okay? Because once we accept God, when we accept Jesus in our heart, once we accept that, the fear should be gone because there's no more condemnation for us, okay? But man, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior and you're still walking in disobedience and you're still doing your own thing, you got something to fear. Okay? You got something to fear. But the beauty of it is, you could leave here tonight and not ever fear that again. Just by accepting him as your personal Savior, you know? And we'll talk about that in a minute. We're not just talking about you accepting him into his life. We're talking about you giving your life to him. Okay? And so, but here's what the fear of the Lord. It's a respect and reverence. It's a bowing down. A submitting, because we recognize who God is. That's why we bow down. That's why we submit, because we recognize who God is. And so you can't accomplish that. You can't conjure that up. You can't accomplish that without a personal, real relationship with the living God. Okay? And here's the definition I want y'all to live with the fear of the Lord tonight. And y'all just keep this in your mind. Write it down. It is a trustful, worshipful attitude. It's a trustful, worshipful attitude. It changes things when you look at the fear like that, right? You trust God and you worship God, okay, because he is God. It's a holy dread of displeasing God. The last thing you want to do, you worship and you're trusting God. The last thing you want to do is let him down. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the kind of fear of the Lord that we're talking about. In Psalm 34, 7 through 18, what we read earlier, if y'all put it up on there, I want to read those because it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. See, when you fear God, God sends his angels to come hang out with you. That's a great benefit. And he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear lack nothing. Fear him, lack nothing. Okay? What a great blessing. Because it's because when you become a child of his, he's your father. He takes care of you. You lack nothing that you need. Okay? The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. That's another thing. You lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life, and that's a lot of us, right? Huh? Don't you love life? And desires to see many good days. I would imagine everybody in here. Here's what you got to do, though. You got to keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. When you hear his and you cry, he hears you. When you're disobedient and running and you've already told him to shut up, you can cry all you want to sometimes and he is not going to listen to you, okay? Because you've already told him to shut up. But there are times when we already seen with the children of Israel, the grace of God goes past that sometimes and he still hears you and he's always there for you. When you're ready to turn to God, he's ready to receive you. I promise you every time. Just like the prodigal son and the father, okay? Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He hears it. His ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen? So that's a great relationship. We got a God that wants to hang out with us, but we got a God that if we just believe him and show him by our actions, he's always going to be there for us, okay? So why can't we fear God like that? So there's many benefits to fearing the Lord, right? I mean, it really gets you to where you want to be. Really, every one of us want to be blessed. Every one of us want to be happy, right? But see, we got a responsibility, even in that psalm right there, to shun evil. Our responsibility in this fear of the Lord is to shun evil and to do good. Okay? When evil comes your way, y'all know what it is to shun somebody. You know, if you don't want to be around them, you do like this. Get away. Talk to the hand. Get away from me, you know? But y'all don't do that with evil. Y'all say, come on, let's sit. Let's hang out for a little while. Let's see how close I can get to sin and not mess up, okay? But the fear of the Lord says, you know what, that's not wise. That's like that snake and bungee jumping. You know, that's not real smart, you know. You might live, but you keep it up. It's not going to be good, you know. So we are to shun evil and to do good. And that's what it says. So fear of the Lord is, blessed are those who fear the Lord and who walk in his ways. And that's what walking in his ways look like, shunning evil and doing good. And see, for me, here's some things I just said, okay, Alan, what is the fear of the Lord to you, okay? And I really believe the reason I use a lot of stuff for my own self because I believe a lot of people just like me. Y'all messed up just like I am, okay? For me, I genuinely believe that if I live like and act like I'm the boss of my life, God could possibly and has the right to do whatever it takes to get me back on track. See, I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, so I make decisions that prove that I believe that. And so we got Jonah. Let's see here. See, and God causes and allows things in my life. God causes things. See, that some of y'all may not think that God does that, but he does that, okay? Jonah 1:1-6, we have it on there as well. I want to read through that. Because I can tell you all day, but if we're just... I love it when the Word of God goes ahead and preaches, and then I don't have to worry about what y'all think. I can just go ahead and talk about the Word, okay? All right, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. Anybody ever been there? And headed for Tarshish. The Lord told him to do one thing, he did totally the opposite. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for a port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Like he can even do that. So when y'all doing that, y'all do that. Y'all run from the Lord. You know exactly what he wants you to do. And you say, you're going to go total opposite direction. Say, no, I'm going to do my thing. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what, that shows that you don't fear God. When you do that, that right there showed Jonah did not fear God. But he's fixing to. Okay? He's fixing to. And I'm going to tell you what, so are you. If you're running from God right now, and you're doing your own thing, you may not fear God right now, but you're going to at some point, I promise you. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. See, the Lord did that. He sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. See, Jonah, seemingly, he's at peace. He's like, Jonah's happy. He's not going to be in a little while. The captain went to him and said, How can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish. And so we see Jonah, and we all know the story, and the whale and all that kind of stuff. That's not exactly what this story is about. I want you to see that Jonah fled from God, did his own thing. God said, nah, I'm going to send a storm. Jonah, you're going to do what I tell you to no matter what, okay? And that's exactly what happens, okay? But much of the wreck and ruin of our lives and in our world today is because we don't fear the Lord. We act just like Jonah, okay? We really don't believe. And that's the deal with Jonah. He didn't believe that God was going to do anything. If he knew what God was going to do, there's no way if you told Jonah, you're going to get eat up by a whale, and you're still going to have to do it anyway, okay? You're going to do it. And Jonah would say, yeah, right, okay? Y'all doing the same thing. I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God is very clear about when we're walking in disobedience, okay? But there's a lot of collateral damage that comes from living like that sometimes, you know? I'm going to tell you, you never get away with sin. I also believe that apart from Him, I can do nothing. Do you believe that? Okay. Therefore, I fear that at times I'm doing more harm than good just by being active, doing things without the leading of God, just to please man sometimes. Sometimes I do things not out of fear of the Lord, but out of fear of man. Okay, I do those things to please men, and I didn't even ask the Lord about it. And I'm going to tell you what, the Lord really, the Lord is good, and He comes in, and he comes in with me sometimes with just a little quiet little, Alan, that's not good. I've gotten to where I can respond to that, and I don't have to get the honey whoopings like I used to, you know. But I do fear that, okay. And you think, well, some of those little things are little disobedience. I mean, is that really a big deal? What kind of things are a big deal? What things should I be worried about? I'm going to tell you what, you should be worried about all sin. All sin. Because we see Moses. I mean, we see the story of Moses. I mean, Moses did all the amazing things, you know. And Moses goes, and the people get to grumbling about water, you know. And he goes to God, and God says, look, you just speak, and the rock, we're going to give him some water, okay. Moses got so frustrated with them. He called them. He was so mad at them. He said, we will give you. You want water? We'll give you water. And he hit it twice with the stick. He didn't do nothing what God said, but he also took God's glory. He said, we will bring you water. And I'm going to tell you what, that one little deal kept Moses from being able to lead them into the promised land. Out of all the things that Moses did good, that one thing stopped him, okay? And you think, man, that's a harsh God. I'm going to tell y'all one thing. This is the thing about God. When you sin and you get away with it, it's just the grace of God, folks. It's just the grace of God. And you ought to look at it as that, as just the grace of God, because God is justified if He struck you down dead for sinning one time. He's justified in that. But we have such an amazing God, He doesn't do that. So when you get away with your stuff, you ought to be praising God. You ought to be praising God. Because we see Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't, you know, that's the New Testament. You got the Old Testament and the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, they came and to sell a field. You know, Barnabas had sold the field and laid the money at the apostles' feet. And Ananias and Sapphira said, you know what? That's pretty cool. Everybody kind of thought that was neat, you know. We got a field. We're just going to sell the field. Well, they went. It was their field. They had the right to do with the money whatever they wanted to. They sold the field. And they gave the money to the apostles. But they held some back for themselves. But they didn't tell nobody. Okay? They deceived God. They lied before God. And God, that cost them their life. See, God struck them down dead for that. Okay? God's justified in doing that. So when it doesn't happen to us, when I don't get struck down dead, praise the Lord in His grace. And this week, I was confronted with it myself. On Thursdays, some of us have committed to pray and fast for this unity thing with the churches and stuff. And I'm sitting there Thursday at work, you know, and I've got a little time that I do that. Wouldn't you know, my best customer calls me up and says, hey, man, I'm just in town. Why, you want to come to lunch? And I'm like, oh, man, dang, I'm fasting. I can't do that. I didn't tell him that. I was just thinking that in my head. I said, man, this guy's my best customer. He's going to be offended if I don't go. Free lunch. you know, you know, all these things coming, you know, and one of my favorite places, you know, and I'm like, dang. So I said, yeah, I'll be over here in a minute, you know. I hung up with the phone, and the Lord said, who you fear? You fixing to preach on fear? You fixing to go over and eat over there when you know that you done committed to fasting? I say, oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. I know the consequences if I, I'm going to tell y'all, I believe this. I believe if I would have disobeyed God and went over there, I'd be blank up here in front of y'all right now. I'm just telling you, whatever it is that I fear, God's going to allow that to come to pass sometime. Or grace, he might have given me some grace. But I believe that, okay? But here's the thing. It was more of that holy dread of displeasing my God that helped me do that than what I was worried about he was going to do to me, okay? And so I had to call him back. And then I got a chance to witness. I said, man, this is my day to fast. I'm sorry. You know, I went ahead and told him. I said, man, sorry about that. He said, oh, that's all right. You just dissed me like that. That's fine, you know. But anyway, we better keep going. Oh, man. And I fear the possibility of fighting spiritual battles on my own and losing. See, we're in a spiritual war, folks, okay? In Acts 19, 11 through 20, Paul and them were doing some amazing miracles. Okay, they were doing amazing miracles, healing people. Even when a shadow would come over, people were getting healed. And some of the Jewish, there were some guys, seven sons of the Jewish priest, they thought, man, that's kind of cool. You know, we're going to try some of that, you know. And so they went out and they tried to cast out a demon on their own. Okay, this spiritual thing, they went out and tried to do that. And when they did, they got beaten by this demon because they're doing it on their own power. All right, they were doing it on their own power. They didn't fear the Lord. They said, you know, this is cool. We're going to kind of duplicate some of this stuff, okay? And they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And see, I'm afraid that if I go into spiritual battles not prepared, not fearing the Lord, not with my slate clean, I can get beat. I can get whooped just like anybody else, okay? I do fear that. And so that's why I pray before we go out into these neighborhoods. That's why I pray. There's a lot of things that we get into we need to be prayed up before we ever even step out, okay? But I believe that. It's the fear of the Lord, okay? Because I believe that God will lead me out there if I just act like I got what it takes, okay? And he'll do that to you as well. And the fear of the Lord makes you step out in faith. You remember the story of the talents? The master left the three servants with the talents. The one, he said, God, he said, he knew that the master was scared, was kind of a harsh man, and so he just kind of hid his talent. He didn't do anything with it. But when the master came back, he had to give an account for that, okay? So when you really do fear the Lord, you step out and you do things that you don't think that you can do because of the fear of the Lord, because you want to please your God, okay? Because it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, if the things that we're doing in our life don't take faith, we're not pleasing God. Okay, we need to be stepping out in faith so we can please God. And we see in Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Okay, that's another passage that's amazing. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I'm gonna tell you what, wisdom is something that every one of us should want. Okay, and it's not just smarts. Okay, true wisdom. We're gonna look at that real quick. True wisdom is not just smarts. In Proverbs 3:19, it says, "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation." And by understanding, he sets the heavens in place. See, God is wisdom. And you, every one of us should want wisdom. Because wisdom is this. Wisdom is a divine enabling. Wisdom is God coming alongside you. And it's the ability to cope and succeed based on God's provision. See, wisdom, you don't have the ability to make the right choice on your own without God. Okay? So it takes wisdom, God's wisdom. Wisdom is a divine enabling, able to cope and succeed based on God's provisions and his power and his perspective, and we need every one of those. And this is the cool one here. It says wisdom deals with ethical conduct, conduct seen in the light of man's relationship to God, okay? You see life through God's eyes. See, wisdom makes you live right, and you need that wisdom, and that wisdom only comes from God. You all you're worried about is what pleases him. What does his word say? Wisdom influences every area of your life, your family, your neighbors. You're making choices for your family, your neighbors, your employees, your strangers. You're making choices in your life every day that you need God's perspective, okay? You need his wisdom. And wisdom only comes from the fear of the Lord, and you only get it as you put yourself under God's hand. And we owe him our reverential respect and trust. Amen? y'all a little quiet out there. I'm going to tell you what. I ain't trying to scare y'all. I'm going to tell you what. God is amazing. And he's worthy of praise, okay? Because this is what the fear of the Lord is. Remember, a trustful, worshipful attitude. And some of y'all just say, man, that's just beyond there. Without Jesus Christ in your heart, you don't even accept this at all, okay? You don't accept the authority of God over your life. You don't accept anything, okay? But the gospel said, and I think we did people a disservice for so many years. We say things like, if you'll just invite Jesus into your heart, it's going to be fine. Your life is going to be right, okay? It's going to be good. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes it ain't good. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better, okay? But here's what I want you to consider. The gospel isn't us inviting Jesus into what we're doing. The gospel says that you're a sinner, that you deserve to die. But the gospel said, I sent my son in your place, okay? And it's not, I didn't send him to come and make your life better by you inviting him into what you're doing. I came so that you may die to yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's what the gospel is. See, when you turn your life over to Christ, we're not asking him to come into our life and make it better. We're saying, God, I've messed this up. I lay my life at your feet to follow you, to deny myself, pick up my cross daily, and follow you. That's the gospel. And he made that available through Jesus. And all you got to do is admit that you're wrong. Throw yourself on your face and say, God, I need you. Help. You don't even have to say anything special. Help. And the blood of Jesus will cover everything. Okay. So I pray if there's anybody out there tonight, man, we have our time of invitation. I pray that you do that tonight. Because the fear of the Lord, you want it. It does make you happy. Okay. And so there's some blessing. Now we're in verse 2. We're fixing to roll a little quicker. All right. But there's some tangible blessings that come from the fear of the Lord too, okay? Man, once you get saved and you begin to live like God told you to live, okay, then it says you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours, okay? It says you, it's a personal thing. This walk with the Lord is a personal thing, okay? It says you will, that's certain. You're going to eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours, okay? What he's saying there is your good works and shunning evil are going to produce some fruit, okay? You're going to get to see the fruit of your labor at some point, all right? And doing good, doing it God's way will pay off. But you must be diligent and you can't be lazy. And God never rewards idle hands, okay? So it says you're going to eat the fruit of your labor. Here's the thing. If you don't have no labor, if you're not out there stepping out in faith, if you're not out there following the Lord, if you're not walking in his ways, you are not going to produce any fruit. No fruit, no labor. I'll say the same thing. No prayer, no power. You're not going to get any spiritual fruit if you're not a praying people, okay? No study. If you don't study the word, you're not going to have any anointed teaching. You're going to be able to teach people some of the things you know, but it's not going to be anointed by God. It's not going to be used by God, okay? No labor, no fruit, okay? In 2 Thessalonians, it talks about this working. It says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat, okay? And so you're going to get the fruit of your labor. And so as we look in the things, when you do good things, and we look in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, I want to read that real quick, because you're going to reap what you sow. You understand that, right? So do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. Okay? The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. See, that's the happiness here and in heaven. Okay? If you sow to reap from your sinful nature, it's just obvious you're gonna reap destruction. Sow to the Spirit and you're going to reap eternal life. And it says, let us not become weary in doing good. And that tells me, because it says, the labor of your hands, this Christian walk is hard. Okay? It's hard, so we cannot become weary in doing good. I think a lot of y'all have tried it a little bit, and then things come along, and you say, man, it's just too hard. I'm going to tell you what, if you'll continue, you will reap a harvest. You got to continue, though. You got to believe that it's in the end. You're fighting this thing until the end. Okay? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so, man, that you're going to reap what you sow, so you will eat the fruit of your labor. If you're not doing any labor, and if you're not doing any stepping out in faith, you're not going to reap any fruit at all. It says blessing and prosperity will be yours. In Proverbs 6:6-7, it says, go to the ant. This is a great picture here. It says, consider the ant. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. See, even an ant knows that God had put something in an ant to know that it has to do something to get something back, you know. And so we are much greater than the ants, okay? So blessings and prosperities will be yours. If you labor, you will be happy with the results. You will reap what you sow. The problem is you don't get to reap fast enough. You put a seed in the ground and you wait 3 days and said, it ain't up yet. You know? I'm going to tell you, when you put that seed in the ground and you watch, it's coming up, okay? And you put a bad seed in the ground, it may not come up today either. It's coming up too. Okay, you're going to reap what you sow, I promise. Okay, so I beg you to consider that God's ways are best. Deny self. I'm already on the other page. See, I went to verse 5 over there. But there's some promised blessings extended to the home as well. Okay, in this next verse it says, your wife, everyone wants their home to be a sanctuary, right? Nobody says, I want to go home, and I want to go home to a battlefield. Nobody says that. A place of peace and tranquility is what we want our homes to be like. A place of love, but our lack of the fear of the Lord, that trustful, worshipful attitude, makes it virtually impossible for some of us, because we just do things our way, all right? We just do things our way. But with God's wisdom, any home can be a sanctuary. So if your home is messed up today, with God's wisdom, it can be a sanctuary, I promise. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. And as I looked at that, your wife will be a fruitful vine. And you think of vines. Vines are, you know, in the New Testament, where they talk about vines, the vine dresser. See, vines are something that need to be cared for. So for your wife to be a fruitful vine and have that kind of spiritual fruits exhibited in your house, I mean, you need to care for her, men, okay? And God shows us how to care for our wives in Ephesians 5:25-30, okay? It's a hard word, guys, but I'm going to tell you what, it's worth listening to because it's God's word. All right, let's read that just real quick, and we're going. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is a Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. See, some of y'all guys say, man, I don't know how to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Man, I hear it all the time, and I don't know what that looks like. Man, serve her. Give up your life for her, okay? But if you just don't know, it says, after all, he says, he who loves his wife, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. So if you don't know how to love her like Christ loved the church, love her like you love yourself, okay? Love her like you love yourself. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. See, we need to be feeding and caring for our wives. God gives us some instruction in his word to do that, but we don't want to do that because sometimes our wife get on our last nerve, right? Y'all's? Okay, yeah, that's good. Barney's the only brave one, you know, or the only one telling the truth, you know. I'm going to tell you what, I got the most amazing wife in the world, and she gets on my nerves at times, okay? I get on her nerves, and for y'all to sit here and just lie and act like it don't happen, yeah, that should have been amens, okay? All right, okay? It happens, okay? I have the most amazing wife, but I'm going to tell you what, it's my job to care for that vine, okay? It's my job to pick her up, you know, because those vines, they were on the ground, and they had to pick them up, shake the dust off them. Sometimes it's my job to even prune some good things out of my wife's life so she can produce more spiritual fruit. It's my job to do that, okay? Say, baby, you just can't do that. You're just doing too much, okay? Whatever it is, it's my job to do that, guys. And so, I mean, And it's, and I look at vines, you know, and it says vines need to be cared for. But also that what I looked at is that vines, I saw my mother-in-law and them have some vines on their tree. And when a vine is healthy, it goes everywhere. Man, she started with just a little bitty vine on her tree. It done took over the whole tree. And I'm going to tell you guys, when you do it right, you are going to be pleased you're going to be happy with the results, okay? Because the results of that are going to show up everywhere. It's going to impact your home, okay? It's going to impact your kids. It's going to impact your extended family, and it's going to impact the watching world. Man, when you got an amazing wife and it's shown in your marriage, it impacts the whole world, okay? Because, guys, women are going to follow us if we'll just follow God, okay? They will. I promise they will do that. I mean, it's a blessing for me to have a wonderful wife who exhibits the spiritual fruit in my house. It's a blessing. I got the most amazing wife in the world. Some of y'all may disagree with me, but I'm just going to have to disagree with y'all. I got the most amazing wife in the world, okay? But here's the thing. I really believe that that's a blessing, some of what, because God has changed me and he's allowed me to do some of the things that are in his word. And it's not because my wife is an amazing wife. It's because God is blessing her and me through the obedience to the word, through the fear of the Lord, the things that I used to do. I used to be really harsh, okay? I'm not harsh anymore. And I'm going to tell you what, the benefits of that are better, okay? And I got a long way to go, just like any of y'all do. But I tell you, it is worth the investment in your wife, because that's one of the most, everybody wants their house to be a place of peace, okay? Apart from him, I can't be a good husband. And then we go to the sons. It says, your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. And you know, that picture of the olive shoots, the olive plants are a sign of longevity and productivity. They showed that. And last week he talked about the sons would be like arrows in the quiver, okay? And that was security and stuff. And so I looked at this and I'm thinking, why is he saying the sons are like olive shoots? See, a lot of us, we don't view our kids as a valuable thing. Olive shoots, it was a sign of longevity and productivity. Olive trees were to survive for thousands of years, okay? And they're seen as very valuable. And so sometimes we just don't see the value of the responsibility that we have as parents with our kids, okay? Because it's our job to make disciples. That's the greatest place in the world to make disciples, is in the home. You stay-at-home moms, I praise God for y'all. Because y'all got the greatest calling in the world. Y'all get to make disciples in your home, okay? And I'll tell you what, we didn't buy into that to begin with. We bought into the American dream where me and Dina was working and we were just having things, you know. But my sons, my olive shoots, they have chosen to live a more biblical life from my perspective, you know. I mean, and the blessing of that. Because I'm not saying that anybody works is a bad thing. But for us, God told Dina to quit work. And I'm going to tell you what, it was the most scariest thing in the world, because she made a lot of money. My wife was banking, man. She was making some money, you know. And it was really hard to let go of that money, but it was the fear of the Lord. We knew God was telling us to do that, and he did that right in the middle of a building fund that we were being a part of at Living Hope College Station. And I'm like, surely, God, you ain't telling me to keep on giving and give up so ever much a year. It was a lot, you know. He said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. You committed, okay? And I committed, and I'm going to tell you what, God has been faithful, faithful, faithful. If you're faithful, he'll out-faithful you. God will do that, I promise, okay? But my sons, man, they're an amazing group of guys, okay? But here's the thing about the olive shoots, too, is the longevity of them, they are going to continue. When you invest properly in your kids, they're going to continue when you're gone. You know, they're going to continue when you're gone. They're going to do things that you could never even do, okay? And I love those statistics that Manny had last week. He says, you know, because your kids are going to follow the father. And those statistics say 17% follow Christ when the mom is faithfully living for God, but 93% follow when dad is the one who is faithful to God. That is amazing. That's worth it, guys. That's worth it to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to fear the Lord, and I'm going to change a generation if you come from a generation of divorce or anything like that, okay? Man, I tell you, that's awesome. Because family is near and dear to our hearts, right? So many of us will do things for our family that we would never do for anyone else. But when we fear the Lord, he will bless us in areas that we hold close to our hearts. God wants you to be happy in the areas that make you the most happy, okay? God knows how to bless you. But many of us settle for lesser blessings with our families by not fearing God and trying to make our families happy with things of the world instead of things of God. Okay? We try to fill them with the things of the world instead of the things of God. And so you may be here tonight, you think, and I don't have no wife, I don't have no kids or anything. How does that apply to me? If you are faithful, you get to use these same principles of dying to yourself, you know, sacrificing, feeding, caring for people, to all people. You can do it at work, okay, where you live, where you work. And if you begin to live God's ways and loving people, loving God and loving people, if you begin to do that, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to reap a harvest and it's going to make you happy. Your workplace is going to be better. You know, everything's going to be better when you do it God's way, okay? So I beg you to consider that God's ways are best. Denying yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow Him. And that's what our families need to see. And it says, thus blessed is the man who fears the Lord. So you're going to be blessed. It's truly a blessing for me to know that I've passed on the spiritual baton to my sons, okay? But you think, okay, I don't have sons. Well, how does that apply to me? There are a lot of fatherless kids out there. There's a lot of fatherless people out there, okay? There's people who never had a father. And so we have the gospel. We're passing the gospel on, and the gospel is not yours to keep. So even if you're not passing it on to your family, you know, we aren't. Maybe you're not called. Maybe you're not going to be able to even have children physically. But I'm going to tell you what: every one of us are called to reproduce ourselves spiritually. Every one of us are supposed to reproduce ourselves spiritually. Okay. It says, may the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Man. May the Lord see you from Zion. See, that's the presence of that signifies the presence of the Lord. In Psalm 33, and we're almost done, 33:13-15, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. So your God is up there, and it talks about Zion. But I'm going to tell you, there's the Holy Spirit that we have that comes in and indwells us and gives us that relationship with the Lord, and He blesses us through that relationship, okay, through His presence. In all the days of your life, you will see prosperity of Jerusalem and may live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And, you know, I really think, I'll tell you, for me personally, it's a blessing to live to get to see your grandchildren, to get to live long enough to see your grandchildren. And the greatest blessing that I've had lately is my grandchildren are beginning to talk a little bit. You know, and you get that vocabulary going sometimes. But to see them boys talk about Jesus, you know, to see them boys talk about Jesus. I mean, Matt was saying, Brody, the other day, he was like, they were talking, trying to get him to say the word awesome. He was like, awesome, you know. And then they didn't even say this. And then he said, Jesus is awesome. Man, some of y'all, that might sound silly too, but to Grandpa, that's awesome. You know, to Grandpa, that's awesome, okay. And our other grandson, man, I mean, it's just amazing what bringing them up at that early age does, okay. We went to church, but we didn't bring them up like that. But I get to see that. Okay, I get to see the fruits of that labor. But it says, all the days of your life, may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And for us, church, I really believe that he's telling us in these scriptures that if we'll do things God's way, if we'll fear the Lord as a church and as a church body, because Jerusalem represents the church, that we'll get to see fruit. If we'll do it God's way, we'll get to see people saved. Okay, if we'll do it God's way and love God and love people, if we will do it God's way, we are going to get to see addicts come and throw down their drugs. We're going to get to see marriages heal. We're going to get to see some stuff because God promises that we will get to see the fruit of our labor. Okay, we are in a hard area out here in this place, and I thank you guys for being so faithful to this area because it's hard. But I'm going to tell you what. If we will continue, we are going to see some fruit if we don't give up. I believe that with all my heart, and I believe that God's word tells us that. And well, I'm just waiting for the floodgates to open on the blessing. And the blessing does not mean that we're filling this up with a bunch of Christians, okay? The blessing is that we fill this place with people who need Jesus, okay? We fill this place with people that are going to go give their life to Christ and go and impact our community and impact our families. That's what I want to see. And I'm going to finish with the one last verse. Imagine that, huh? It's in Ecclesiastes 12:13. It's the end of the chapter. This is the chapter the wisest man, Solomon, wrote all this stuff. And then all through there it talks about all these things. Vanity, vanity, vanity. He had everything. And he said, and when you compare it to the Lord, it's all vanity. Okay? This is the guy who had everything. And look what he says in Ecclesiastes 12:13. He says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter of all of Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. See, when it's all said and done, fearing God and walking in his ways is the only thing that's going to make you happy. And I think I can say that with all surety. I've tried a few other things, but the fear of God, walking in his ways, is the only thing that's going to make you happy. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just bow before you, Lord, just thanking you for your word. Lord, thank you for the encouragement that it brings, God, to us to just bow before you, give our lives to you. Whatever it is, God, that we need to do tonight, God, I pray that we walk away from here with the fact that you love us. And Lord, everything that you tell us in your word and everything that you do in our lives is meant to draw us closer to you. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that needs to give their life to you, Lord, that they would be bold enough to come forward, Lord, or whatever it is, Lord, and just, Lord, quit living for themselves and give their lives to you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for tonight. Amen. Coming back on. We have a time of invitation, and we just ask that if you're visiting with us, we have an open altar. You know, you can come and just deal with the Lord, and you just ask God to deal with you. And so the altars are open, and just deal with God how you want.